Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, from hearing her name called when no one was around to seeing shadowy figures on her bus rides, the paranormal activity was a constant presence in her life.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. If you want to call it in, it's 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to become a premium subscriber, you could do that. And you get advanced episodes, access to the archive, thousands of episodes there, and no commercials. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes. Kathy Gordon, how's it going today?
It's going really well. It's, you know, a good day, a rainy day, but still good. I love it.
It is a nice sunshiny day here. I had something I wanted to tell you about.
What?
So the other night, Friday night, I went to the theater where I have my show that I wrote going on. And actually, we got a full house standing ovation that night, which was really exciting. That never gets old. And so at the very end of the night, I go to get my car and I backed out and I went to grab my phone and I realized I left it inside the theater. So I literally back out of my parking spot, and the theater's in like the entertainment district in my city. And so I back out of my parking spot. I get like five parking spots. There's another one. I pull in and I run into the theater because they were getting ready to lock up. And I happen to know the girl who is the house manager doesn't have a key to get back in. So I want to get in there so I can get my phone before they step out the door. So I jump out of my car, I run in, and I find my phone. I may be in the theater 2 minutes, maybe. And so there's four of us. We all walk out together, and we're chatting. And I hit the unlock button on my car, and I look up, and there's a freaking guy in my car.
What?
There was a guy in my car, and he was trying to find money or something.
Oh, my God.
He's, like, rifling through my car.
Are you kidding
me? No, it's so, you know, it's funny because when you think about these scenarios, like I'll just try it on you. If you walked out and you saw a guy in your car, what would you say?
I'd say, get the fuck out of my car.
I know it, right? That's in my head. Like, I would have said, what the fuck you think you're doing? But what I really said was, is there something you're looking for? No. I said,
Can I help you?
I actually said, is there something you need?
Officer, the registration.
It was like, is there something you need?
Oh,
and the funny thing was, I wasn't freaked out. I was super calm. That might have freaked the guy out because I'm like standing there looking at him. I'm like, is there something you need?
Yeah.
And then he looks at me. He's like, boop, 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 boop. And then he like turns around and runs off, and he's got a buddy right there. So I don't know if they had seen me back out and pull up and thought, try her car, see if she locked
it. Well, and probably thought you were going to be there a while, you know.
But if they had paid attention, I backed out of one spot and pulled into another one immediately.
They might have only seen you pull into that one and then thought, you know.
Yeah, but then my friend Aaliyah, she's a big girl too. She's like probably 5'11". You know, she's a big girl. And she goes, and the other three girls didn't even see it. And I go, you guys, that guy was just in my car. And they go, what guy? That guy that just ran off. And Aaliyah goes, he was in your car. She starts to take off after him. I'm like, Aaliyah, get back here. It's not safe to pursue them. They're criminals. And so she comes back because I think they took off running. They were gone by the time we even looked down the street. But the other girls are like, what do you mean? There was a guy in your car. And so I look down and, you know, like I've got, oh, who's the patron saint of driving?
Christopher.
Yeah, because I always think the one I have, I always call him Saint Sean Connery because he looks like Sean Connery. But I have, you know, him, and I've got like some different buttons and things. And so the guy just had a handful of my crap and he just dropped it. And I was like, What the hell? And I'm glad there's nothing in my car that he could want. You know, the only money that's in my car are pennies that I found that I think my dad sent me.
You know, I do have to say that the older I've gotten, the more that the like mom in me turns on in those situations. And I find myself walking up and going, well, you should be so ashamed of yourself. Like, look at you. What has become of you?
I would have liked to do that better than was there something you needed?
But it's funny. The older I get, the more I'm like their mom, you know, just giving them that look like this is, I'm so disappointed in you. I am so disappointed. Look at you.
Well, and I was, you know, it is that weird.
Like, did you think you were going to find $500 in my car? It is a freaking really old Ford Focus.
It's a 2018. Like, you know. Come on.
Come on. Like, really.
You know, and it's just like, it was really bizarre because at the moment I was totally calm. And then like once he took off running, I'm like, that dude could have punched me in the face.
He could have. He could have pulled out a gun.
Yeah. I mean, he was like in the middle of going through my car. So so when I walk up, the door is wide open. He just runs off. Like there's my shit on the ground and my door is wide open. And here's Aaliyah going to run after him. I'm like, girl, you get back here. You are not running after the criminals. Isn't that crazy though?
Jesus, that's
like I
crazy.
Caught him red handed.
You know, and I just who don't are these people? Who are these people? That's it. That is like, what is wrong with people?
And here's
that they think that somehow what you have, that you are so worthless that whatever you have, they could just take, you know, that they don't put any, you know, worth on other human beings. Like it's just so all about themselves. And, you know, some of them are addicts. And so they just, that's all the place they are is just about themselves. There isn't any other place. But, you know, it just kind of sometimes it gets that where you just go, people, you know, it just isn't all about you.
And you know, here's the other thing, though. It obviously pays off for them. Else they wouldn't be doing it. So there are people leaving money and shit in their cars. And so, you know, like we went to Disney on Ice. My friend put her purse on the floorboard next to me. And I'm like, do not leave your purse right there. And she goes, there ain't nothing in it. I go, they don't know that. Somebody's going to look in your window and see your purse, and they're going to bust the window to get nothing. And now you got to pay for the damn window. So I hit it. But it's just, you know, people are like, I don't know how many times I've seen on Facebook the video cameras, you know, the videos of people going through the cars in the driveway and then the woman going, and they stole my purse. What the fuck was your purse doing in the car? Overnight, like bring your damn purse in the house.
Yeah.
You know, don't.
I mean, there's common sense, you know.
Yeah. So obviously, there's enough people leaving shit in their consoles that these people are just rummaging through it. And I'm really anal about locking my car. I'm really good about it. But I think I was just like, shit, my phone. I don't want to leave it here overnight. And I just jumped out and I'm going to be gone 2 minutes. Isn't that crazy?
I am so sorry.
I know, that's but just, you know what?
That just stinks.
They got shit. That's the comforting part. They didn't get shit, and nothing bad happened to my car or me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope he was very embarrassed. I hope he felt ashamed.
I hope he feels ashamed of himself. I do. That's what I hope.
Anyway, so let's go to a story. Something about ghosts and not about criminals.
Okay.
So it says, first, I want to thank you so much for doing this every day and giving us a chance to share our stories. I mostly listen to your podcast at work, and I've learned a lot from them. It's made me realize I've had more paranormal experiences than just the two major ones I'm about to tell you. So thank you again. You know what? I think I totally agree with what she says, because I think sometimes you don't think it was paranormal because you didn't see a ghost floating past you. And there's so many, and I think a lot of people think that's what it takes to have a paranormal experience. So she says, from second to fourth grade between 1995 and 1998, we lived in Greenfield, Indiana, a bit further from the center of town. Our house was small and one story, relatively new, We were probably the second or third family to live there. I don't think it was just our house that was haunted. It felt like the entire neighborhood and maybe even other parts of the town had something going on. The first strange experience I had was hearing my name called when I was playing in the backyard. I always thought it was just in my head, but after hearing about it on your podcast, I realized it could have been a ghostly phenomenon. It sounded exactly like my dad angrily shouting my name, even though he lived all the way in Florida at the time and couldn't have possibly been there. I wasn't doing anything wrong, just exploring in the backyard, so I just brushed it off. I've also heard my name called in other places, but I mostly remember it happening in the backyard. I'm not counting the times I've heard it in conversation. My name is Carrie, but the only times was when no one else was around. Another common occurrence in Greenfield was seeing shadowy figures on my morning bus rides. After a while, I stopped looking out the windows because I'd see these shadow men flicker through the trees, always keeping pace with the bus. It was pretty creepy, especially that early in the morning, and I wasn't sure if I was just imagining things, but that all changed one night. One night, I woke up out of the blue. One second, I was fast asleep, and the next, my eyes were wide open. When I looked beside me, I saw a little boy sleeping there. If it had been anyone else or if he'd been staring at me, I would have freaked out, but he was just lying there peaceful and calm, so I stayed calm too. I stared at him for what felt like the longest time. He was a milky blue color, almost like he was in black and white, but with shades of light blue. His blonde hair was cut in a bowl shape, like his mom had used a bowl to cut it. I had never seen a kid with a bowl haircut before, so I was fascinated. That makes me laugh. He looked young, around 4 years old, with chubby cheeks and full eyelashes that most girls would envy. He wore worn blue jeans and overalls that didn't look like anything we wore at the time, so worn and lived in that it seemed like he wasn't the first person to wear them. Under the overalls, he had a simple striped shirt. I remember wondering how he got those overalls so worn-looking at his age. Time has faded some of the details, but I do know I stared at him unblinking until I couldn't keep my eyes open anymore, and just like that, he was gone. I went to the bathroom afterward, and then I fell right back asleep, wondering if he was still there, but I wasn't upset at all. I didn't tell anyone about that experience until I was much older. It felt too private, and honestly, who would believe me? Then one day, something else happened that I couldn't ignore. I was playing with a friend, and she had no idea we had a ghost in the house. We were playing in my room near my closet, and my cat Whiskers was with us. She was staring at the top left corner of the room like she sometimes did. We were talking about a Goosebumps necklace I had recently gotten, the kind with a cool 3D holographic image. It had a creepy monster on it, kind of like a hamster monster, I think. We thought it was too ugly and boyish, so we decided to bury it in the front yard near some bushes and flowers my mom had just planted. After burying it, we raced back to my room together, and when we got there, we found the necklace folded neatly, free of dirt, sitting in the middle of my bed. How did it get there? My mom was outside planting flowers, and we had passed her on her way back inside. My little brother was taking a nap, and there was no way anyone could have gotten back to the room before us. We went back outside, and sure enough, the necklace was not in the hole we'd buried it in. Needless to say, we were both freaked out. I never saw the little boy, but I just knew it had to have been him messing with us. As I've gotten older, I've come to understand that there are many energies out there. Our world gives off energy that can manifest in our minds in different forms, from fairies, which I'd prefer, to angels or demons. The mind creates these images to help us walk away sane. I think humans can leave imprints of their energy behind when they pass on, energy that only the young can truly sense. My 10-year-old daughter might have had some of her own experiences, but that's a story for another time. Thanks again for everything you do. Goodbye from Erie, Indiana. She spelled it E-E-R-I-E. That's from Carrie. I totally agree with her about the energy thing. Totally agree with that.
Like, what do you mean? In what way?
About how energies can be left behind by, she said, I think humans can leave imprints of their energy behind when they pass on. I think that sentence right there is true. Yeah, I don't even know necessarily that it has to be a haunting. I just feel like we've talked about before, energies in this house or wherever people live, there's been happiness and sadness and all of the range of emotions. And I think that kind of stays behind a little bit.
Well, yeah. And it, like, our energy can't die. It has to go somewhere, right? So I think that it definitely could have a bit of an imprint, our imprint on it. I thought, what do you think of the necklace story, though? I'm trying to, you know, think in my head, like, could the friend have pulled a trick? Now, of course, Carrie's the only one who could tell us, right? Because I'm just speculating. But, you know, could the friend have, you know, acted like she put the necklace in there real quick and buried it and then somehow went upstairs first and put it on the bed or something? You know, is there some way the friend could have tricked her? I think Carrie's the only one who can answer that because, number one, she was there. Mm-hmm. And she would have seen the friend's reaction, you know, to it. What do you think?
And I don't know. I think that she would know if her friend did that, actually, because...
just the way the friend acted.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You know.
So to me, if her friend is, like, super freaked out, and you would have to... that would be... I don't know how old they were, but that makes it some pretty good sleight of hand to... yeah.
I was just trying to think,
like,
if there's
burying
some way
it, and you're just a little kid and you bury it, but it's like, this will be funny, and I'm going to take it and she's not going to notice, and I'm going to put it on her bed without her noticing. I think that would be hard.
Yeah, I was just trying to think if there's some way, some practical, you know, physical way this could have occurred. And it appeared like the only way would be the friend doing it. But I think she would have known the friend was doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Was goofing with her. Don't you?
I don't know. I just don't know. Because if she hadn't had that experience with the little boy, mm-hmm. and seeing him in the middle of the night like that.
Yeah.
So I think maybe he does have something to do with it.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of that?
That would freak me out. But it didn't freak her out, which I find
that's
very
it.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting, too, the fact that she seemed to be not afraid, but more interested, more fascinated, you know, taking the time to look at him in great detail. I mean, she could see the eyelashes and that the clothes were worn and, you know, what the color that, you know, what he was, you know, his hair color or whatever, you know, all the things about him. She described him really well.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. I think, you know, I think she saw an apparition. She said he seemed to be asleep. I wondered if he was dead, you know, and she was seeing some sort of apparition of a dead body, but she seemed to think it was more asleep.
Well, I'm telling you what, I don't know how, even if you're a kid, you could wake up in the middle of the night and see anybody sleeping next to you. I don't care if it's a kid or a kind-looking grandma. That would freak me out.
Well, yeah.
So Carrie, hats off for not freaking out over that, because I would have.
Well, and the fact that she said she felt like maybe the whole area had something about it, not just her house.
Yeah.
Like the whole area did. So maybe we're talking about, you know, a battle site or, you know, that something happened here.
I don't know, but that is, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to applaud her for not freaking out. She's one of the few people who could see that, not freak out. Like, she felt, you know, she described him in such detail.
That's it.
It's craziness.
Yeah.
Well, let's do one more story. And it says, I still get goosebumps whenever I think about this night, even though it happened years ago. I was around 17 or 18, hanging out at my friend Tim's place with a couple of buddies. Tim's parents were out of town, so we basically had the run of the house. It was in one of those newer neighborhoods, nice, well-kept lawns, quiet streets, and houses that all kind of looked alike. This is funny. This will make you laugh. Before we settled in, Tim casually mentioned, "Oh yeah, by the way, there's this ghost. I call him Henry."
Oh,
that was our ghost growing up.
It was.
Oh,
we had a ghost.
That's so adorable. It says he's harmless. He just likes to pop in and check on people. So naturally, we all laughed it off. A ghost in a suburban home? Yeah, sure. Tim shrugged and told us that when Henry shows up, he just says something like, "Hey, Henry, everything's okay." And Henry apparently takes the hint and disappears. My friend and I rolled our eyes. We weren't buying it for a second. And we moved on to raid the refrigerator and watch some bad late night TV. We ended up crashing in the family room, which was near the back of the house. It was one of those open areas with plush carpet, a big TV, and couches scattered around. I remember it was pretty late by the time we turned off the TV. One minute I was so tired that I felt like I'd pass out immediately, and the next thing I knew, I was startled awake by a weird sound. It took me a moment to figure out what was happening. Slowly, I realized it was music. Somebody's radio was playing upstairs. At first, I thought maybe Tim's stereo was on a timer or something, but then I remembered nobody was even up there. Tim was sound asleep on the couch, and Jed, my other friend, was lying on the floor next to me. I glanced over at Jed and saw his eyes wide open, staring back at me. We both knew we were hearing the exact same thing. We stayed absolutely still, listening. The volume wasn't super loud, but it was definitely on, like someone had casually flipped on a radio in one of the bedrooms upstairs. Before we could make sense of it, we started hearing footsteps. Clear as day, someone was walking around up there, going from carpeted floor to, I assume, the hallway. The steps had this distinct, soft thud, like a person wearing socks in a carpeted room. Then came the part that really freaked me out. We heard the footsteps move to the stairwell at the front of the house. The stairs had carpeting, but at the bottom near the front door, there was a section of tile, and you could literally hear the difference in sound. The muffled thumps on the carpet, then a sharper click on the tile, like two footsteps. It was so vivid that I found myself mapping out every step of the journey in my head. Jed and I looked at each other. Our hearts were pounding. We pulled the blanket up over our heads like a couple of little kids. To this day, I'm not sure why hiding under a blanket felt safer, but it was all we could think to do. I get that, though.
I do, too.
The footsteps got closer, moving from the front door area through the kitchen. We heard the soft crunch of shoes or feet pressing into the carpet as it approached the family room. Ooh! By then, my adrenaline was off the charts. We both felt it like someone or something was standing directly over us, almost close enough to touch. Time seemed to stretch out, and I swear my lungs forgot how to breathe. Jed said in a whisper, "Hi, Henry. Everything okay?" It was the only thing we could remember from Tim's story, and we had zero ideas on how to handle whatever was towering above us. The effect was immediate. The crunch on the carpet started moving away. Step by step, we could hear it retreat to the front of the house. There were the two distinct clicks on the tile again, then the sound of someone climbing the stairs. Finally, the radio upstairs shut off, like whoever or whatever had turned it on was done checking on us. We stayed under the blanket for the rest of the night, practically clinging to each other. When morning came, we cornered Tim and told him everything. We expected him to say, "Oh yeah, that's Henry," but instead his face went white. He admitted he just made up the name Henry on a whim to scare us a little. He swore he never actually believed there was a ghost in his house. From then on, none of us could explain what had happened that night. Did we just encounter a spirit that was curious about a bunch of teenagers? Or was it just some unexplained phenomenon we'd never truly understand? All I know is that I felt it, I heard it, and I still can't come up with a better explanation than Tim's ghost that we ended up calling Henry. Every now and again, I think of those footsteps, and I get a chill that there might be more out there than we can actually see. That's so interesting. Do you think that Tim, like, maybe he really did have a ghost, and then he wanted to be like, because I just can connect to this from when I was a kid, being like, I know, There's really nobody here.
Okay, so it couldn't have been a real person because they would have seen it?
Well,
because they were under the blankets, right?
But But they said nobody was upstairs. So I don't know if they were the only ones in the house at, like that
but
night.
Like, I'm thinking like somebody broke in your house and is walking around. Like it, but it couldn't have been a real person that did this?
I don't know. I think it could have been a real person because nobody looked at him.
They didn't look, right?
You know, and then when they go, Henry, you okay? And then the guy was like, my criminal. He was like, oh, shit, gotta go.
Yeah, let me get out of here.
Let me drop all your shit on the ground.
I don't know. And maybe it couldn't have been because maybe I missed something and they looked. You know, and there was nothing there, but they
felt
something.
Here's also kind of what I'm thinking, that Tim set him up too with that story. Mm-hmm. So maybe their first idea was, rather than intruder, it's Henry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is the middle of the night and it's scary.
Right.
And then he said that and the guy walked off. So really, could have been a ghost, but it could have been an intruder.
I realize today I seem to be trying to blame friends for everything, you know, but could not have Tim set them up somehow. Like, you know, I'm going to get, you know, friend Bob to come in and turn on the radio, walk around, scare the crap out of them and leave. I don't think anybody goes to all that effort, especially if you're a 17-year-old teenage boy. And I have a feeling that they looked and nothing was there, and then they put the covers up over their head because he was very adamant that this wasn't a person.
Yeah.
That this was something, right? I mean, to be quite frankly, I'm just afraid of a real person walking around my house, even maybe more so.
Well, and
you know,
I mean, let's face it. What just happened to me Friday night?
Exactly.
People do bad things.
Mm-hmm. But apparently, I just think that in the story, they must have looked and there was nothing there. And then threw the covers up over their heads. And because he would have known, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I think that's pretty creepy, though, especially after his buddy talking that. And it scares poor Jed.
You know, I kind of feel like maybe you're onto something with Tim. I dated a guy named Tim once, and I don't think I would trust him. So I'm not going to trust this Tim either. It might have been the same Tim, actually, because it sounds like something he would do, right? But, you know, you might be onto something that he really did have a ghost, and it was really true, but in the daylight, he just wanted to act like, oh, yeah, right, guys. That was just
because we did that as kids. Yes, we lived in a haunted house, and yes, we owned it. But when other people would talk about it, I remember being more embarrassed about it. Mm-hmm. And like, no, really, I don't live in a haunted house. But I really did.
Yeah. And I wonder if, you know, the just acknowledging Henry thing seemed to work for him. So he threw it out there that night in case anything happened to them. But then the next day is like in total denial. No.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, oh, shit. Now
big
now,
man on campus.
Tim's like,
I can't have
damn
a ghost.
Damn it. I really do have a ghost now. My friends know.
Yeah, damn. It's
so,
been validated.
If you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to become a premium subscriber, get the advanced episodes, access to thousands of episodes in the archive, all without commercials, sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu with new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In The News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.